Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about budgeting tools, how to use tech, and much more. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. This is going to be a fantastic one and a fun one because I'm a huge tech nerd. So today's episode, it's going to be awesome. We're going to tackle a whole broad range of financial tools that you can use in your life because guess what? There are so many different ones out there and it's hard to test them. It's really tricky. It's time consuming. You're going to hear today's Money Buddy and I talk about how this can be a challenging area to figure out what works for you. So we're going to break down a lot of different tools for you so that you know which one may work best for your situation. There are so many different ones out there. Which one should you use in all sorts of different scenarios? We're going to talk about all the way from budgeting your very first time, starting to invest, building your credit score, and potentially building out your entire do-it-yourself financial plan. There are tools for everything out there, and I mean literally everything. There are tools that we absolutely love to use and love to recommend, and then there are tools that we just flat out don't like, and you're going to hear us talk about both of those in today's episode. And there is a common objection that I hear all the time about using fintech apps, and that is that you don't want to spend money to get help with money, because it just feels like a weird circle, right? We're going to talk about today, and I'm going to mention why it's important to get over that objection and realize that spending some money to do better with your money can be so beneficial. It can be super helpful to subscribe to and purchase one of these apps if it's going to work for you. But I'm super excited for today's episode. So let's get into today's introduction. Today's Money Buddy is Brittany Flammer. Brittany is a financial coach, mom of five, and an avid budgeter. After years of living near the poverty line with five kids, Brittany figured out how to budget and win with money. With an average income of $37,000 a year, her net worth is now over $800,000. She enjoys teaching what she learned to other people so much that she became a certified financial coach. And now she helps clients start their budgeting journey and stick with it. And this is a fantastic conversation. You're not going to want to miss it. But this week's money talking points are 1, what is your favorite budgeting app? 2, what's the biggest struggle that you have with fintech? And 3, do you prefer pen and paper or a digital app? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Brittany to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm excited to nerd out on some technology and talk about different budgeting apps and fintech and what people can use to manage their own personal finances. There's a lot of them, and there's one for every sort of different type of budgeting style or whatever you like to do. So let's kick it off here with just a simple money talking point that really everyone can use to go start their own money talk. But for you, Brittany, what's your favorite budgeting app?
This is probably the second most frequently asked question I get. And it makes me laugh because I test out a lot of budgeting apps for clients and for YouTube. My favorite to use for budgeting is a spreadsheet. So I use a spreadsheet. Yeah. So I do like Google Sheets. That's the app. I do have the app on my phone so I can access it when I'm out on the go.
Wow. You and I are probably in similar shoes then because I've been also trying to just get a feel for different apps that are out there, see what they can do and try them out. And I always come back to, well, I have my own spreadsheet built out this specific way and I can't figure out how to do that within the app. And that's always a big pain point for me, which works for us. Like our spreadsheets work for us. We probably have them built out in a way that works perfectly for our system. And that's okay. Like that might be what you end up doing and the best way for you to manage your own money. What is the biggest struggle that maybe you've realized or recognized with all these different fintech apps in your experiences?
Well, first of all, you have seen firsthand that I struggle with technology in general. But I think the biggest struggle that I see other people have, clients have, is it's just overwhelming. There is so much out there. It's hard to know what's the best for you versus what's the best for someone else. It's just easy to get overloaded because there's so much out there.
Yeah, it can be extremely overwhelming because you look at one app that connects all your bank accounts and works really well. Then you have another one that doesn't, you have to input it manually. And then you have one that ties to a spreadsheet. So you still have to deal with a spreadsheet if that's what you didn't want to work with. So there are so many different ones out there and it's tricky to do the comparison game and work through them all on your own, which is why I was excited to have this conversation with you because that's kind of one of the areas that you like to test out and work on. I do have one final money talking point before we really get into talking about technology. Tell me a little bit of your thought process between a good old pen and paper versus using one of these digital like app first platforms.
first of all, I tell people whatever works for you is great. Pen and paper, if it works for you, then you don't need to change. Stick with it. I was just on a plane a few weeks ago on a cheap flight that had no Wi-Fi. And so I had my notebook and I was doing some pen and paper, like planning for next year, our financial goals. But it is hard. You have to have the pen and paper with you and you have to stay on top of it. So for most people, digital is preferable because it's convenient. It's in your pocket all the time. It's updated. If not in real time, it's updated very quickly. So for most people tend to go to digital. But if pen and paper is working, then stick with it. People might make fun of you, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have your finances in order and you're making your money do what you want it to do, who cares what these other people think?
Like, I've heard on some of your podcasts, you say personal finance is personal. And there are a gazillion YouTubers out there that share their budget every month and it's all on pen and paper. So it's working. So there's nothing wrong with it as long as it is working for you.
Your pen and paper might not sync to all your different devices, but it may get the job done and it may be just what you need to actually get your finances in order and start tracking everything in a way that works.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Well, that does it for the three money talking points for this episode. Those are really just for the audience to go out and start their own money talks with family, friends, and other people they want to share the episode with. But I'm excited to really dive into technology and talk about just how we use these apps, how they can be used, all the different scenarios where one might be more advantageous over the other. I want to start off with this first question here of how do you feel like technology helps us with our money?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of ways it can help us. I think there are two main ways that it helps people the most, and that is with automation and simplifying. So automation, I am a big fan. I don't know if you've read Ramit Sethi. It's like set it and forget it. We're lazy by nature. Like the easier we can make it, the more likely it is to happen. So I love automation. Savings are automated. Transfers, I don't have to do anything. So we get paid monthly. Our paycheck goes into the account last day of the month, the first day of the month. All of our savings are automatically transferred to retirement, to short-term savings funds. I don't have to do a single thing. I could be on vacation. I could be doing something else. I don't think about it. And I know that there's money going into those savings accounts. So I'm a big fan of that. Same thing with bill pay. Like, I don't have to worry. I know that my bills will get paid and I don't have to do anything. My mother-in-law was recently in the hospital. She was in ICU for like 6 weeks. And after about a month, I was like, we should check her finances just to make sure. So we go over to her house. There were bills that had been mailed, bills that had been emailed, like nothing was on auto pay. There ended up being one or two bills overdue because we didn't see the mail. So it took hours to go through and get everything paid. And we've now set up everything on auto pay. If it ever happens again, I don't have to think about that. Something could happen to me and everything would still be paid. We wouldn't have to worry about that. I am a big fan. It just alleviates one less thing to do every week or every month. So I love the automation. That's huge for me. Yeah. Another thing that that it can be really helpful for is simplifying. Now, we've talked about how there's so many apps out there, it can be overwhelming. But if you find an app for budgeting specifically, it really can simplify things. Like they can link to your banks and they can import your transactions. A lot of them even categorize your transactions for you. So it can save a lot of time for you, which is huge. And I mean, just little things like the banking app. Like my parents still give checks to all the grandkids. So when my kids get checks, I can snap a photo and and it's deposited. My mother is like always amazed. She's like, you deposit your checks like the day you get them. Or like with my children, they do jobs and earn money and I can open up my phone and send them money for their jobs to their bank accounts or to my younger kids, to their digital. So it really can simplify if you're using the right tools for you and your situation.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I'm taking away there initially, I have a couple points that I want to hit on. But the one thing that I thought of right out the gate is we started this, right? And you mentioned, oh, you don't always like technology. You might not be the best at it all the time, but there's still technology that works for you in your life because you've found those tools that are effective and you found the tool that makes it simple and easy to transfer money to your kids or to deposit that check, right? You're not going out looking for every single tool under the sun, trying to figure out how to make them all work together. You just find the one that works for you and you stick to that.
Yes. Yes. And there's something out there for everyone. And like you said, it's finding what's best for you. So people, I told you the second most question I get asked is what's my favorite budgeting app. The first most frequently asked question is what is the best budgeting app? And there is no best. It's what's best for you.
Yeah, there's so many out there. And like a spreadsheet works for us. Maybe Monarch works for someone else. Maybe there's a million other tools. And we're going to mention some of them in today's episode. The other things I wanted to talk about real quick here is automation is a huge just like stress reliever. Like you mentioned a situation where someone ends up in the hospital. Those of you listening, your situation may not end up that drastic. It could be that your kid got in trouble and you're dealing with this and just suddenly 3 or 4 weeks pass and there's problems you're trying to fix. And you know what problem quickly gets put to the back burner? Those bills that are coming in a way that you don't ever see them, or they're in that email inbox that has 100 things in it, right? If you don't have that automation set up, it can quickly compound and you just wonder where in the world all your money went or didn't go and all the bills that aren't paid, right? And then the other thing that you mentioned was how these apps can bring things together. And there's a whole lot of power in that to see it all in one place, because my wife and I, we love to do the credit card hacking thing and getting travel rewards. And it wasn't until last night that my wife realized how many credit cards we actually have, because she found my Ziploc bag that I put them all in after we're done getting the sign-up bonus and don't use the card anymore. And I'm like downstairs putting my shoes on, and I just hear from upstairs in a closet her just yell, "How many credit cards do we have?" She didn't even realize it's like this thick stack, but it's all in one place for me to keep track of it. Without that, there'd be no possible way. She counted and it was like 28 different credit cards, which is insane even to me. I don't think I realized the number got that big, but we've kept track of them all. We don't have any credit card debt because of these apps that bring everything together. So whether it's a funny story like that or you avoiding a financial emergency because of automation, those are all great ways that technology can help us.
Yes. And I will say 28, that's a record. I've never met anyone that has that many before. So that's impressive.
Neither had I until yesterday. I didn't realize it either. So, but it works. It works because of technology, honestly. What are some of the pain points that you see people use when they start trying these different apps on their own?
Yeah, so there are a few. The biggest one I feel like is the overwhelm, which we've already talked about. There's just so much out there. It's also intimidating because I know if you're like me, you'll get online and Google the pros and cons of this, and you've come to a website or an influencer who's recommending it, and it's hard to know, are they recommending it because they're earning money from it, or do they really feel that way? And there's a little bit of a learning curve with each of them. So my most popular YouTube videos are like the best budgeting apps, and I have gone through and tested them, and it takes hours and hours to test them, and you're plugging in your financial information. So you don't want to commit until you know that it's what you want, which it's like a catch 22. You can't know if you like it until you test it out. Some of the apps you can try out, or you can see like people have videos online showing you how to use them, or their websites, they'll show you how to use them. So it can be overwhelming because there's a learning curve and people don't want to commit to it unless they know they're going to like it. And then it's just one more thing, another subscription that just adds up, right? And if you're like me, you try to avoid those because they just add up. So I feel like if people know that it's an app that will work for them and they're going to like it, then they're happy to pay for it or to learn how to use it. But if you're not sure if it's the right one, there's a hesitation. Like, I'm not going to put time and effort. So then they do nothing. So that's kind of what I have personally seen with people the most.
Yeah, the time and effort can definitely be a struggle because, like, for me, if I want to try a new app or whatever, when I want to start testing a new app or try something out on my own or in my personal finances, I have to like commit a Saturday morning to it. Like, you have to sit down, be ready to plug in all the different logins for all those credit cards that I mentioned, right? All the different accounts that we have. And that's also a huge benefit of just keeping things simple in the first place, is it makes it easier to use these tools or keep track of it on your own. But there's some real, I think the time thing is a big one. And yes, there's tools like Plaid and all these different things that let you connect it quickly, but it's still a hassle because then you have to go set up the back end. You have to set up all these categories. I totally agree that the biggest pain point is time there with these apps.
Yeah, definitely. I can attest.
Yeah. There are more financial apps than just budgeting apps though. What other tools do you like to use? What other tools, maybe if we just want to start mentioning some names for people to be aware of?
Yes. So aside from budget, well, there are a lot of budgeting apps, but aside from budgeting apps, high yield savings accounts, I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. I love Ally. There are a ton of them out there. I don't think I've ever met a bad one, but I have three favorites: Ally, SoFi, and Wealthfront. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like those is because you can visually separate your money. So like with Ally, you can have buckets. And so you can have a bucket for vacation, a bucket for your new car, a bucket for the holidays. So it's just one account, but you can visually separate it. And they, all three of those have that. So with SoFi, it's vaults. With Wealthfront, it's categories. So that's just a feature that I really like. And I found a lot of people like that because then you don't have to open up a gazillion accounts.
Yeah.
But now with technology, I could have just one account, but still visually see the money. So I love high yield savings. This year I have started using a password manager, but it's been really helpful. It saved me time. And so it's been worth the few dollars a month for the amount of time it has saved me trying to remember the password and making sure it's secure, especially once you get into the financial apps. And now there's so many data breaches that I feel good about having those secure codes.
And a good password manager keeps all that in one place. And just makes your life a whole lot easier because you can say, yeah, randomly generate something that is really secure and strong, and you don't have to write it down on a piece of paper or whatever.
It actually that you're going to lose or use the same password for everything.
Yeah.
So that has been a tool. I use 1Password, but there are several. That's the one that someone recommended me. So I've been using it and I've been happy with it. Another thing that everyone needs is an estate plan. And I know we automatically think, oh, that's for rich people, right? But no, it's for everyone. It's just a fancy word. There are a ton of wills you can do online for cheap. I have been really happy with Trust and Will because a lot of people actually need a trust and they don't even realize it. But it's intimidating. If you're going to go to a lawyer, you're going to spend thousands of dollars. So with Trust and Will, it's all online. It's kind of like templates. But if you do need help from an attorney, you can pay to get extra help, but you don't have to pay for the attorney. That's affordable compared to going somewhere local. I got an advertisement the other day. It was like, $2,000, you can set up your estate. And I want to say Trust and Will, last time I looked, was like $600 for a trust. Yeah. So it's much more affordable, very convenient. So that's something that I recommend. Doesn't have to be Trust and Will, but having the estate plan, that's just one I've had good success with. Another thing you mentioned earlier, keeping it all in one spot. There are a lot of softwares. Empower, you've probably are familiar with. It's completely free and you can link everything. It's not great for budgeting, but you can see all of your finances.
It's a dashboard.
Yes, it's great. I know Projection Lab I've been testing out and is really great. But for the average Joe Schmo that just...
There's so much in that tool.
Yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming unless you're kind of a little bit of a money nerd. So Empower's great. Very easy. User-friendly, you can see everything, it doesn't cost any money. And then another thing that has come to my attention the last year or two is identity theft protection. But I now have it, and you can get it a few different places, but a lot of people will monitor your credit, but like you can do that yourself. You don't need, it's the protection if something happens, having someone that will go in and restore it for you, because that would be hours and hours and hours of time. So that is something that more recently I have started researching more into.
Yeah, and it's a good thing just to keep in mind. But yes, like you said, you can monitor your credit reports on your own. They're all free to access and create an account with the credit bureau. And I have I think it's either every 3 months or every 6 months, just a reminder to go look at them. And it takes 10 minutes. And you just see, is there some new credit line that showed up that wasn't me, right? That's all you have to really check for.
Especially when you've got 28 credit cards.
I mean, it's true. You got to keep tabs on that sort of stuff.
When my husband and I first got married, I checked both of our credit reports. He had like 12 credit cards. He had never used any of them, but he signed up for like the free t-shirt in college. And he didn't even know that he had those accounts opened. So it's just good to check them. Like you said, you can get one free from each of them every year. Setting a reminder in your calendar, great way to do it, to remember to check.
You can even, if you create an account with the credit bureaus, I think it'll even let you generate one more often than that, or just like look at it and refresh it more often. So it's a very simple process. So
It is.
A couple things I want to hit on because this is fantastic. You're touching on so many different areas of just technology and how it can help people with their money. The SoFi vaults, I actually kind of want to tie a couple of the things that you mentioned together. Yes, the vaults are fantastic to separate and see your money. I also realized that vaults do something that the buckets with Ally don't do. And that's, it'll post your dividends that you earn each month from your high yield savings to the vault, which is super helpful because my wife and I have, like, we'll have our emergency fund sitting there, and it's cool just to see how much your specific emergency fund makes. Or if you have like a vacation savings, you can see how much that vacation pocket or vault makes. You've probably heard of Crew and their automation. They have their separate pockets, but you can also set up automations with vaults and all these other things as well, where a certain percentage of your paycheck goes in a certain way. And that's a cool piece of automation that you can do directly within your bank accounts. And then on the Empower front, I've used Empower for 4 or 5 years at this point, back when it was Personal Capital even. SoFi actually has a tool called Relay that is the same thing that you can tie all your accounts to. So it's very likely that whatever bank or high yield savings or credit union that you use has a tool built in to do all these sort of things. I know a lot of credit unions have a tool called Money Manager, I believe. It's similar to just a bare bones budgeting app that you can categorize transactions and link external accounts. So before you even need to go test all of the paid apps and all of these different things out there, there's probably something built into your bank account that can at least get you started with just some simple tracking and simplification to get everything in one place.
Yes. So look where you are first. Definitely. Our bank does not offer anything, but even credit cards, if you have your one main credit card that you use for most everything, they are not great for budgeting, but they are good for at least seeing where your money's going usually. So start with what you have before you even try to learn something new. Great tip.
Yeah, most of the bigger name credit cards will provide you like an annual summary at the end of the year to see how it's spent. I know Fidelity has their Fidelity Full View. Every major company has some sort of tool that's going to help you get this process started. And then you can figure out where it maybe stops short. And that's where you can pick up with a tool like Monarch or whatever, these other budgeting apps that you might use. That was fantastic. You touched on a lot of great points there with different apps that are beyond budgeting, because so often we hear, oh, I need to get my money in order, and we just think budgeting. But there's so many different aspects and areas to it that even just us mentioning it here has gotten the thoughts going in someone's mind that they're now going to go out and look and say, yeah, I want to go get my will set up and I didn't realize I needed a trust. Or maybe it doesn't even need to be that complicated, but now they're thinking about it, do some research, and they are able to get their estate set up in a simple way. So that's why these money talks are so valuable, is we're just able to plant seeds in each other's minds of different areas and ways we can improve with our money. The next thing I want to talk about here is, maybe let's just go through some different situations that people might find themselves in. There's like Projection Lab, like you mentioned, where if you're trying to do a full financial plan, you could get lost in that app and never come out because there's so much stuff in there. And then there's all the way to never having budgeted, where just a simple tool to track everything may be useful. Let's start with that never ever budgeted. This person has never tracked, they've never done anything, they just want to start doing better with their money. What sort of direction do you recommend these people head in?
So I recommend the first thing is to just look at where your money's going, whether that is inside the bank, wherever you're banking, look at what they have and just see where the money has gone. Or it could be writing it down in pen and paper. You don't have to buy or pay for anything to do that. If your banking app is not going to cut it for a budget, then if you want free, the every dollar free version is really good at being deliberate about your spending. If you're willing to pay, Monarch Money tends to resonate with most because it's so automated. But just start by looking to see where your money is going. That's the first step, because most people have no idea, or they think they know, but they're way off.
Even us who use spreadsheets and apps, we still estimate it wrong. So if you think you're going to guess it correctly without any sort of tracking, you're way off.
Yes, yes. Even I was just doing kind of our end of year financial checkup, and I looked at how much we spent in every category over the year. And I was like, oh, we have been spending more on groceries than it's just the nature. We always are optimistic. Now look at what you're spending before you try to budget.
Yeah. And I always tell people that too. It's like, you may not even have to budget, because you might naturally realize some areas you can cut back just by looking at your spending. And I think people underestimate their own ability to adapt if they start to see that, like, yeah, I'm spending a ton of money on eating out, which is a common area for every single American. You just look at that and you'd be like, wow, I could cut that back. I could not go to the drive-thru every single morning. And you really don't even have to get into that like deprivation lens of budgeting that it causes us these feelings of shame. You can stop before you even get to budgeting and just say, yeah, I don't really want my money to actually go to that category.
Yeah. So that is one thing where I do feel like the budgeting apps are helpful because a lot of them are very visual. A lot of my clients like Monarch because of that. And it's like eye-opening. They look at it and they're like, wow, we really spend that much on, like you said, eating out is a big one. Mm-hmm. Or like my teenager spends how much a month? Like it's really, really eye-opening to see where it's all going.
Yeah. And that'll just be a huge just mental shift for you. And if you spend $50 or however much it is on the first year, I guarantee you just looking at your spending over a year is going to save you enough to make the subscription worth it.
Most mm-hmm. clients, I was going to say, within that, the first time they get on and start looking, find ways to cut back to more than pay for the app for sure. Mm-hmm. Most of them offer a free trial. So if you get on and find that it's not going to be worth it for you, just put in a reminder on your calendar to cancel before the free trial ends.
Most of them will actually let you cancel instantly and still give you access through the trial.
Even I've been going and filming because I retest the apps every year, and I've been doing that. And just the other day, let one lapse before the free trial ended. And so I just emailed them and they refunded me right away. Yes, so
Most companies will give you your money back because they don't want to get a bad review, and it's easier to give you the money back than to fight it, right?
Yes,
so just,
exactly.
Just ask, just be willing to ask. But our next thing here is some tech and tools around investing. How do you help people potentially look at investing their money?
That is great. Easiest place to start is if you are employed with your employer, because you don't really have to do much other than set it up. Mm-hmm. If you know nothing, there's nothing wrong with target date index funds. If you want more help, I have had a great experience with flat fee financial advisors. Mm-hmm. Your traditional advisors cost a lot of money in the long run. Like that 1-2% that they charge can add up to be hundreds of thousands of dollars over the lifetime of your investing. You're probably familiar with Hello Nectarine.
Yep.
Jeremy Schneider set it up. I've used them. Great. You pay a flat fee to meet with them, and they don't do the investing for you, but they can look at your income, your investments, or they can tell you where to go. So I recommend that if you don't want to pay for that, wherever you're employed. If you are not employed somewhere where they offer a retirement plan, any of the big investing apps, I personally really like Fidelity. Fidelity's one of the easier ones. So log in, create an account. Everyone, they'll walk you through how to do everything.
Yeah. And you can talk to someone on the phone. They're very nice. Yep. I've always had good experience with them.
Yeah.
If you have a retirement plan at work, likely has some sort of advisor that's assigned to the plan that can at least give you 30 minutes to just chat about it. And they'll kind of teach you a little bit.
Most people don't even know that, but yes.
Yeah. And flat fee financial planners are a great direction to head in. A couple other things to mention, some tools in that space. There's Nectarine, like you mentioned. There's a network of planners in the same vein called the Advice Only Network. That their whole thing is to just teach and help give you advice about your situation right now. And they don't take assets under management. So they're going to let you keep your own assets, because that's where the money is really made for them, is when they're managing these big portfolios for you. Advice Only Network is another great one. And then another mention for SoFi here is if you have their like SoFi Plus, because your direct deposit goes into them, their SoFi Plus offers free financial planning access too. So again, just look where you already are, whether it's your workplace, you have a high yield savings with SoFi where your direct deposit goes. There's a lot of resources out there that you frankly don't need to go very far or spend a whole lot of money to get access to.
In fact, you mentioned SoFi, Wealthfront, all of these online banks, mm-hmm. you can invest right there too. Mm-hmm. That's not my first choice to invest, but if you're already there and it's the easiest, then that is better than not doing anything. Even like Acorns, they get kind of a bad rap, but if you're not going to do anything, but with Acorns, it will round up for you mm-hmm. and invest that, that's better than nothing. So, mm-hmm. So
just get started.
Look where you already are and just do something.
Yeah. And I know I mentioned I have a ton of credit cards, but I will also speak to the fact of keeping your account structure simple and not having a lot of accounts all over the place. Because there was a period where, like my credit cards, I had all sorts of different investing accounts too, but thankfully they've been consolidated now. But I had one at like M1 Finance, public.com, my different retirement accounts. I had stuff at Fidelity, different HSAs, right? And that just gets so confusing and stressful, because you're like, how do I make sure I'm actually investing across the board with all these different accounts in the way that I actually want to? But if you just put it all at one place, then you can easily see it all within one account. All my stuff's now at Fidelity. Just having it in one place is a huge mental relief.
Yes, that is huge. So I always knew that diversification was important. So I was like you, I had an account here and an account here. And I realized, oh, you diversify within your portfolio. You don't need. So yeah, but it took me a long time. And in fact, that was the reason I went to one of the Hello Nectarine advisors, was to make sure I did everything correctly, rolling it over without incurring taxable events. But yes, having it all in one place, that's one login information to remember, one account. It's so much easier.
Yeah. And if you're with one of these bigger companies and you're married, they may even let you do like an online access to your spouse's stuff. Because if there's one spouse that manages it a little bit more, that's what's nice at Fidelity is like, yes, we have our separate IRAs and HSAs and stuff, but they're all under my same login. And I have access to manage both for both my wife and I, which is a great technology feature, right? You don't have to call. Yep. My wife doesn't have to call. It's a whole lot easier. But two more things I want to get to here as we're heading towards the end of our time. I want some more tools and suggestions for people as they're working through these situations. Let's quickly hit on how can people begin to build their credit? Where do they begin to look?
Yes, you don't need any actual tools. There are credit monitoring software. If you want to build your credit, the most important thing you can do is have a credit card and pay it off regularly. If you don't have one, you can open up one. You don't want to use it to the max. Credit utilization is a big factor in your credit score. So if you don't have a credit card and want to build a credit, grab a credit card and just put like one auto pay on it, like utilities or maybe your gas. Every time you gas up your car, you put it on that credit card and make sure you're paying it off every month. Some people I know just cannot use credit cards. There are secure credit cards that will still help you build your credit. Most any of the major banks offer them. I do Chime. The one thing I have, like, I don't personally use it, but they let you, however much you put onto the card, you can use. So it's a much higher limit, because that's most people's issues with secured credit card. It's like a $300 limit. So you can't do much. But with Chime, you can put $1,000 onto it and use $1,000. So just something where you're paying it off every month. If you monitor it, we already talked about the free credit scores. You can totally do that on your own. There are a lot of credit monitoring. I strongly detest Credit Karma. I have strong feelings about them. I don't like them, but you can use them. They're free, but I feel like they are like a used car salesman. You get on their website and they're just promoting just stuff ads. At you. Are willing to pay and don't want to take the time to do anything. Wallet Hub is much, much better. And they provide insurance, identity theft insurance. Mm. So if you're going to pay, I would pay for them over Credit Karma. Credit Karma is free, but you can do it all on your own.
Yeah, you're paying in the amount of ads.
Yes, yes. That's very, very true. So Wallet Hub, much better than Credit Karma. And Credit Awesome. Karma, I don't know how they say it's a budgeting app. I don't understand that, but that's a totally different subject.
If I recall correctly, they're owned by Intuit as well, right? And they're the ones who shut down Mint and rolled some of their Mint features into Credit Karma, which is...
I remember they did that and I was like, oh, they must have added budgeting features. And I go over there, I'm like, no, there's no budgeting here.
Weird. That was a weird move. But I also strongly dislike Experian because your account with them, every time you log into Experian, it will prompt you to pay for a membership and give you credit card info. And you just scroll down and hit, no, keep my current membership. Never pay them. You can view your credit report. And then the other problem is there's the freezing your credit, right? That's something that's good for people to do.
I didn't even think about that. That is a huge thing. Everyone should freeze their credit. Because you can go in and thaw it or put a pause on your freeze if you are going to buy a house or car or take out a new credit card. With all of the technology and people being able to steal identities, that's a great way to prevent someone opening accounts in your name.
Yeah.
And it's free and easy to do.
Yeah, free. That is the key thing there, because my other gripe with Experian is they have what is called locking your, like, credit lock versus credit freeze. And it's a paid tool and it doesn't even do the same thing. It's just a scam, honestly. Like, I don't know how they get away with that, because you can go in and freeze your credit for free. And maybe if you're worried about like, oh, what if I forget to unfreeze it? Most of the times, if you submit a credit card application and it's frozen, it will tell them it's frozen. And then they'll give you 48 hours to go unfreeze it and resubmit the application. They make it super easy because they want your business, right?
Yes.
So don't worry so much about it.
Yeah, and all of the credit bureaus offer the paid options. You don't need to pay for any of that.
Yeah. It's a weird business model if we start talking about these credit companies, but we've mentioned Projection Lab already, and maybe there's some other tools out there as well, but let's talk here for a moment about what if people want to start taking on that like idea of building out a financial plan for years to come. What kind of tools can they use for that?
So we mentioned Projection Lab. Empower is a good place to start because you can link everything, see how you're doing. I do like looking at retirement calculators just because it's so individual. Maybe you want to retire early. Maybe you want to travel when you retire. Like, everyone is so different. Plugging it into a calculator is great. I like the financial advisor, like the flat fee advice only, because they are third party. They're not making money off of it. So they will tell you what is best, but it's nice. Like, I like finances. I'm a nerd and I still like to meet with a financial planner and be like, am I really okay? Like, I think I'm doing fine, but please tell me this is okay. And I do that every couple years just to make sure we stay on track. Meeting with a fee only advisor, plugging it into a retirement calculator, and something, if you really want like a tool or an app, Empower is a great place to start. Doesn't cost you anything and you can see it all in one dashboard.
Yeah. And if you're working with a financial advisor regularly, or you pay them like an annual fee or whatever, it's very likely that they're using one of two apps, either eMoney or Right Capital, which can give you access to your own portal. So you can view some of the planning data that they're working on in your own login. So there's some ways you could do that as well. Like, talk to your financial planner about that, because they may just grant you access and you didn't know it.
And even if you're not using a financial planner, but you have investments somewhere, they all have tools inside of them. Like you've been saying, look there. That's a great place to look. And they have resources, calculators to help you see if you're on track, if you should make changes.
Yeah. And then you can call them and they may have someone on staff that can help you with a couple quick questions and you're good and you're back on track. So that, we've covered a lot. We have talked about a lot of different technology tools, banks. We've mentioned a lot of different apps, softwares, banking platforms. I will try to list them all in the show notes and provide a link to all of them. I may miss one or two because there was probably a good 20, 30 or so that we mentioned. But Brittany, I have two final questions for you here as we're wrapping up. The first one's going to be, how can people connect with you if they want to reach out or ask you any questions?
Yes. So my website, I have a section on my website all about money tools that you can use. That's probably the best way. Or if you're visual and like videos showing you the different tools on YouTube, just brittanyflammer.com or on YouTube at Brittany Flammer.
Awesome. We'll have links to both in the show notes as well. One final question for you here that I ask all of our guests, some sort of variation of this, but what's one thing about fintech that you wish you had known when you were just getting started with money?
Just try it. Just try something. Don't be, I struggle. I say I'm allergic to technology. I'm not good. It's not natural for me. I would rather go old school than learn something new, but just try it. You might find that it makes life easier for you.
Yeah, you'll likely find that common objection that why would I pay money for something to manage my money? You're going to quickly overcome that and realize it was worth it. But Brittany, this time spent chatting about all these different tools was definitely worth it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Brittany for coming on the podcast. We covered a lot today, and I hope you enjoyed that. The biggest takeaway for me is to start wherever you are. And that starting point is very likely whatever bank or credit union that you use right now. It's very likely that they have some sort of a tool that's similar to something that we talked about today. Whether it's SoFi and their vaults and their relay feature to track everything in one place, or if it's that one credit card that you use providing you with a categorization statement at the end of the year. Avoid the overwhelm. Avoid doing what Brittany and I do with creating content around every single financial app, and that's testing them all. Figure out one that's going to work for you, do some research on it, listen to financial creators talk about these different apps, which one might work for you, which one might not work for you, and you can even avoid the overwhelm by just figuring out what tools are available to you right now. A great place to start is to just call your financial institution that you work with. They may have tools available. They might even have free financial coaching available. You never know until you ask, because if there's one thing that financial institutions don't do a great job of, it's marketing their financial literacy initiatives, which is honestly extremely unfortunate. But most financial institutions want to create financially literate consumers, so they may have some resources available to help you. But the simplicity of getting started with having a money tool already built into your credit union or banking app can be a huge win. And that's why it's so important to start where you are right now and figure out what tools are available to you so that you don't have to go out and spend a bunch of money or test a bunch of different tools. But if you're ready to purchase a tool or an app and you know which one will work for you, I'd recommend checking out Brittany's YouTube channel, because she has a lot of great tips on different technology that you can use for your money. I'll of course link her channel in the show notes above the links to all the other tools that we mentioned today, So just the very first link that you see in the show notes will be to Brittany's YouTube channel. I'd highly recommend you go check it out. But that does it for today's episode. What a phenomenal conversation. We talked about all sorts of different technology and all sorts of different fintech apps, all the way from never having budgeted to building your own full financial plan. And the main point is that there is a tool out there for everyone and every single situation. So if you need help deciding on an app to use for your financial situation, please send me an email. I'd love to help you figure out what you can use and what's going to be best for you. Because maybe you're like Brittany and I and you like a good spreadsheet, but maybe you'd rather have an all-in-one app and something like Monarch would be better for you. And then maybe you're a huge money nerd and you're ready to build your own financial plan and something like Projection Lab might be right for you. No matter what, there is a tool out there. There's a system that can work for you. And that is what is so awesome about keeping personal finance personal. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode and you were able to take away a tool that you're going to go look into or figure out how to use to really help your financial situation. But today's main takeaway is to figure out which tool works for you and then continue building a system around that tool. And if you have any questions at all, please reach out. Consider leaving a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email. I'd be happy to reply to each and every one of you who reaches out. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected to all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast. Have a question or a comment? You can find links in the show notes to email me or leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube. And if you're looking to get started with budgeting, sign up for a Money Talk today. I'd love to work with you and help you with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. And if you're a young adult or no one in your life who could benefit from some great financial planning advice, check out Financial Planning for Young Adults right where you're listening to this show. And remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.